Reading is dope.
Some books are for knowledge and some you read for entertainment. The same with blogs and magazines. Each word gets you higher and fills you with hope. You're now tuned into the podcast.
Reading is dope.
You're tuned into the Reading is Dope podcast. Right here on WGBR, Gilla Boys Radio. First of all, I want to remind everybody to check out episodes 1 through 4. You can get to those on streaming platforms such as Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, along with GillaBoys.com. But this right here, this is episode 5.
Reading is dope.
On this episode, I was blessed to speak with an author who's also a motivational speaker, a mentor, and an overall inspiration to others. So without further ado, I want to present to you, Miss Carlita Span. This is Gilla Boys Radio. Miss Carlita Span, can you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Sure. In a nutshell, a little bit about myself is I am a published author. 3 years now, just like you just shared. I'm also a transformational speaker. I'm a mother. I have 3 boys. I'm an amazing bonus son, so pretty proud of my son.
Nice.
I'm a business owner, small business owner. I have my own insurance business. So I guess you can say changing lives is my thing. That's kind of who I am. It's what I do, whether it's showing itself in a book, showing itself when I'm on a stage, speaking to people, empowering women, or like I said, helping people just kind of enhance their lives. So it's a large part of who I am. No matter what I'm doing, just pretty much changing lives and trying to enhance people. So that's who I am in short. But if you have some specific questions about who I am, I'm excited to dive into that too. But that's just a little bit about me, who I am. And this year has been a kind of a more focus on me, just like internally. So I haven't had any projects this year. There was no new book this year, no speaking engagement. So this year I kind of just sat down to regroup and refocus as I begin in 2021 to rebuild my brand.
Right. Well, you know, sometimes we need to do that, though. We have
absolutely.
We have to kind of recalibrate, like you said, refocus. And
when
we're helping others or when we're striving to help others, we tend to lose ourselves in the process. So it's like you have to reconnect with yourself.
True. Yeah. And, you know, I had to catch myself because I'm always inspiring and pouring. And I share with people more often than not that, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. And so this year I'm like, you know what? You definitely need to take a step back and just start practicing what you preach. And it has definitely been more beneficial to me in so many ways. Just kind of pausing, you know, to refill, refocus, regroup so that I can continue doing what I do on, you know, in excellence.
Okay. So when did you realize that you wanted to help people?
Probably in high school. And I promise you, I didn't know this was going to be a specific question, but I kind of thought about this. But definitely in high school, I would say my freshman year. I don't know. I know we went to the same high school, so I don't know if you're familiar with this or not. But do you remember a group that was called Lifesavers in high school?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So I was a huge part of that, actively involved in Lifesavers. And just for your listeners, if they're not familiar with what that is, it was not just a group or organization or a club, but it actually allowed us as students and young adults to become mentors, kind of like counselors on a level to our peers. If they were dealing with things, maybe bullying, low self-esteem, grades, just anything like that. And I just fell in love with it. I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread, because I found myself in high school actually being an advocate for people who really didn't have a voice for themselves. And that was like, I was just like, I like this. You know, kind of helping people become more aware of who they are or speaking up for themselves, just because that's really who I am.
Okay.
And so if I could see that maybe somebody else was having a difficult time, I just kind of felt really, really comfortable stepping in to be an advocate on their behalf. So definitely in high school, possibly before, but that's what stands out in my mind. that experience with lifesavers in high school.
You know, I never really knew what it was all about. For some reason, I don't know why I thought it was like a swimming organization. Like,
oh no, lifeguards. I can see now. Wait, I can see how you would think that. But yeah, so I'm glad we touched on that topic though, because no, that's not what it was at all. But I guess, you know, if you weren't actively involved in it,
right,
or you didn't know someone who was involved in it, you know, maybe didn't have a friend or something like that, then you might have questions, you know, or you would think otherwise.
So it was more of a mentorship program.
Absolutely. And then we would have to go to this camp. It was kind of I think it was in a DuCoin or Du Bois. I forget where it was. But we had to go through training to like actually be like a certified, I guess you would call it, lifesaver.
Okay.
So we had to do role play, and you got a certificate for passing these courses and stuff like that. So that once you got your certificate, like students would actually call me out of class. Once you got your certificate, let's just say a girl might be having a hard time and she didn't want to talk to her guidance counselor. She could have the option to say, I would like to talk to Carlika. You know, is she available to meet with me for 15 minutes?
Right.
And that happened a couple times. And I thought it was really dope, you know?
That's cool. So do they still have that program at the school?
I'm not sure. I got to be honest. I'm not sure if they have it or not. But I was actively involved in it for 3 years. So I know that it was there throughout my duration in high school, which was a long time ago. We ain't going to talk about that right now.
Right, right.
But I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's still an active program or not.
So would you ever start a program like that yourself?
I would. Not that program specifically, but I have thought about some other programs that I was in growing up in my hometown or my community that were fostered by women like Clara Rouse, women like Dolores Wanzo. Shout out to them,
right,
because they really, really helped spearhead and lead the way for young women like myself in girls clubs and self-improvement programs and things like that. So definitely on a level like one of those two examples that I just shared with you.
Okay, I can see you doing that. All right, so how long have you been an author?
I have been a published author for 3 years.
Okay. So
yeah.
When did you decide that you wanted to write?
I knew I wanted to write a book on some topic. I didn't know what. Maybe 2 or 3 years prior to actually writing my book. And someone, a cousin of mine, actually, she's no longer with us. Her name is Mia Garrett. We're more like sisters. She wrote a book with another group of women. It was like an amazing collaboration. The name of the book is called No Artificial Ingredients. And so she was so excited, and we would talk and call each other, and she would be sharing what was going on because they had these photo shoots and she was traveling. I remember, I think they went to New York, and she would reach out to me and she'd be like, hey, you know what? You really need to start writing. And I would be like, how do I get started? And what do I write about? And then I had all these topics, you know, that I wanted to write about. And she said, Carlika, don't get overwhelmed. Don't get frustrated. Like, write. Like, it ain't got to be perfect. You know, those were her exact words. She said, it ain't got to be perfect. Just write. And so finally, that's what I did. I started just jotting down and actually put the pen to the pad and started writing. And then I decided to focus on, you know, one particular thing. But a lot of stories, which still are, you know, were always in me. But I would say she was definitely a driving force who kind of stayed on me to, like, get my story out there.
Okay. So as far as your story goes, how do you feel like it's impacted the readers?
In one word, I would say tremendous. And let me recap. I would say tremendous and unexpected. And I use those words because I think everyone has a story. You know, you have a story. I have a story. And the majority of us, depending on your age, you have several, you know, several stories that you can share with the world that will help them. But I use those two words simply because the feedback I got and the response that I got from people was actually much larger outside of my own community and my own state or my own town than I expected. So over the course of a short amount of time, like, I would get feedback from somebody from Alabama or somebody from Texas or somebody from Ohio. And I'd be like, whoa, you know, you kind of know people are paying attention if you have a decent following on social media. But when you start changing the lives of people who you don't know, you've never seen, you've never met, I was like, okay, like you might be onto something, right. You know? And I like my life story is basically, I feel like if I'm going through something that can help someone else, I'm going to put it out there.
There you go.
That's who I am privately. That's who I am publicly. That's who I am on social media. Right. So that was my reason actually for writing the book. So the impact in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is going to be good. I really want to help some people by sharing bits and pieces of my life and how I got past certain roadblocks and hurdles and things like that. But the surprise was how vast it was expanded, like over throughout the United States. So I surprised myself, you know, right. In a good way.
That's a good thing. So what kind of hurdles did you face as far as your writing career goes? Or what kind of hurdles did you face that maybe inspired what you wrote about?
That's a good question, because I don't want to get carried away answering it, because I could write a book about that, actually.
What you want to say.
I will. So specifically, though, a couple of the hurdles that I faced in life, I did share in the book. A couple of the hurdles that I faced while writing that book, and actually hurdles that I'm facing right now, something totally separate. So I guess I'll just start with the hurdles with like writing the book.
Okay.
Even if you are like maybe a very transparent person, which I like to think that I am, very outspoken and not shy and just really like to network, connect with people, it can still be a little bit different when you are writing a book and you are permanently putting some things out there, you know, about yourself that is about to go worldwide, possibly, you know right. What I mean? Depending on how you market it. And so I paused, not with wanting to write a book or put it out there, but with my words and how I was writing, which is something I never really do. But the first chapter of my book actually talks about forgiveness.
Okay.
And harboring unforgiveness. And so my book is raw. It's uncut. I don't sugarcoat, and I actually write very much like I talk, which is real and transparent. So if you need transparency and you want to know the real truth about situations or life issues, this is definitely a great book for you. Right. But I dive into a story which has a lot to do with someone who was related to me, hurting me in a very, very, very personal way. And so it was difficult for me to put the pen to the paper and share that, because it's something I never shared publicly, but I knew that it was time, you know, to get that out there. So I grew as a writer and as a woman when I took this story and this book out there. I don't tell everything about myself. Right. It's a very, very, very short read. It's under 120 pages, I think, about 120 pages. So I just chose very significant pieces of my life that I thought would be great. And then I coupled that with like the solution or some biblical principles on how I got past that thing. So that was definitely a roadblock in writing the book. And a different roadblock, which is the second half of the answer that I wanted to share. Sometimes I'll get a great idea, and I keep a journal in hand, by the way. Like, I got them in my car. I got them in my house. I have them in my office,
right.
Because I'm notorious with note-taking. That's just my thing.
Right.
But like, sometimes you get an idea or a thought, or God will plant something in your spirit, and I'll be like, oh, that's a great book. So actually, a most recent roadblock that I was facing is that he gave me something, and I actually publicly put it on social media. I think it was like a week ago to the year, maybe last week. And the name of my book right now is Securing the Keys. But he had dropped something in my spirit, and it was called Change the Locks. And I'm like, that's it. That's my next book.
That's dope.
But yeah, I know it's dope, right? And it goes hand in hand.
Right, right.
But it really wasn't about the book. Changing the locks, or change the locks, like that hashtag that I made last year,
yeah.
It was for me.
Right.
And it has everything to do with what I've been doing this year on a personal level. So it really wasn't meant for a book, but I'm sharing that with you because sometimes you'll get a great idea, or you'll receive something you think that you're supposed to write about it. And it could be for something totally different. You know, it's not necessarily for a story or a book at that time.
Right.
So I actively practice discernment to kind of guide me on what I should be speaking on, what I should be writing on, and timing. Timing is everything also. So
okay.
I hope that helps with the answer to the question you were asking.
I like that idea of change the locks. I mean, you go from securing the keys. So you got the keys.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you've unlocked your spirit. You've unlocked your gifts. You've unlocked your purpose. You know what I'm saying? But then you have people trying to infringe on that.
So, you know, yeah.
So now you got to change the locks because people trying to get in and take too much of you.
Exactly. So that's it.
That, like I said, that's a dope concept. I like that.
Yeah. And actually, yeah, I do too. Something else that really resonated in my spirit with change the locks is that access. You know, right. It kind of really allowed me to focus more on access, who I'm connected to. Why am I connected to them? You know, are those connections good? Right. Am I giving titles to people that really aren't worthy of those titles? Do they even have the capacity to be this particular person that I think that they are or want them to be in my life? So changing the locks is huge. Like it's a huge umbrella and there are so many different pieces that fall under that. There's definitely a project that's going to be connected to it sometime soon. But this year, like 2020, it was like inside work, you know, that I needed to take care of for myself.
Okay. So you haven't yet started writing any ideas down for it?
I actually have, because I actually had a show for a very short time that was called No Makeup.
Okay.
And I just had people come in to an at-home studio, and I just talked with them about their lives, very much like my book. So if I thought they had an interesting story about something that they were facing, something that they overcame, or that I thought the world could actually grow from, benefit from, then those are kind of people that I had in the studio to interview, whether it was from a woman choosing to have cosmetic surgery, because, you know, that's kind of a hot topic. You know, some people frown upon it. Some people embrace it. So I thought it was kind of a good topic to have. I talked about us as Black women, minorities in corporate America, the different kind of things that we hurdle, different things that I faced when I became a small business owner. And pretty much every time I show up, my colleagues don't look like me. And, you know, and it's a predominantly middle-aged white male type arena. So just different topics like that I touched on. But back to changing the locks, I kind of wanted to sister and partner that with that in some way. So 2021 is definitely going to bring about some new projects, book related, possibly podcast related, and I won't share everything, but two of those things for sure. So yes, it's going to come out and show itself in some way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So are you doing the podcast?
Yes, I am planning. I think I might have reached out to you about that before, because I know you have amazing studio set up. I DM'd you, maybe. I think I DM'd you about something like that.
I think my uncle said something to me about it.
I reached out to him about it, too.
He said something about you wanting to work.
Okay, but yep, I reached out to him also, and he was a great, great resource because he actually shared some information with me that had never crossed my mind. But, you know, when you're new,
right,
it's just great to connect with whoever, people who are doing it, people that can be, you know, great resources to you. But yeah, so that's definitely a part of something that I plan on doing in the future. So I'm looking forward to that. So I'll probably be reaching out to you about questions and just how your journey has been. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we can do that. Just hit me up.
Absolutely.
Reading is dope.
Reading is a way to live out your dreams. Cause reality ain't always what it seems. Reading is a path to opportunity. It can build bridges between you and me. Reading is a way to find your purpose. Cause you know you're more than what they see on the surface. Reading is a way to seek education. It stimulates your mind and increases contemplation. That's why reading is dope. So when you were writing about those hurdles in your book, did you find it therapeutic?
I did. It was actually like, I kind of find cooking to be like a stress reliever.
Okay.
I find it to be calming. I find it to be relaxing. Same thing applies to writing for me. Because once you get it out, it's euphoric. It's a great feeling. But the icing on the cake is someone reading it, telling you how it made them feel. You know, telling you how they grew or telling you how They had no idea that this was something I went through, and now they feel like they can speak out about it publicly. So for me, that's the icing on the cake, because when I write and when I speak, I don't do it for me. Like the posts I make on Facebook, if I do a live on social media, which I haven't done at all this year either, but those things are not even about me. So the book, the writing, even the podcast, the things that I'm talking about doing in the very near future, this stuff is so much bigger than me. It's really right. about showing others that it can be done. That's another way I would describe myself. Hopefully I don't sound like I'm rambling, but I feel like I'm a woman who shows other women, everyone, but predominantly women, that's my target audience typically when I'm speaking, is that it can be done. I feel like I am proof that it can be done, because there are so many things that people kind of counted me out about, or so many reasons that you look at some of the things that I faced in my past, the people are like, oh, yep, this happened, and, you know, she's probably not going to do that. Or, yep, this happened, and she's probably not going to graduate. Well, you know, she went through a divorce, and, you know, this is probably not going to happen. So right. I really feel like as a woman, I am also the poster child of, number one, bouncing back, and also proof that it can absolutely be done. To me, it's normally a question of how bad do you really want it, you know?
True. So the whole theme of resilience has been prominent in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what it sounds
like. For sure. Yeah.
So of everything you've accomplished, whether professionally or in life in general, what would you say means the most to you and why?
That's tough. And I'm saying it's tough, even though you gave me a heads up on that question. you did a while ago, so I'm not surprised by it. But it's tough because I am proud and blessed because of so many different things.
Okay.
So I was like, do I want to share, you know, the fact that I'm a mother and, you know, because I'm proud of my boys. I've got some amazing kids. They're not perfect, but I got some pretty amazing kids, you know.
Right, right.
I'm kind of proud of myself and the mom that I am and the relationship that I have with my children. But I'm like, okay, well, maybe I want to share my story about how I accomplished so many things later in life and a lot of people didn't see it coming. Like being a small business owner, going from like a negative bank account to like a different, whole different tax bracket. I don't right. like to talk about money, but let's just say right. that, you know, and getting a degree at an uncommon age and being a non-traditional student who went back, got the degree and the licenses and all these accolades, at a time when people really didn't see it coming. So I don't know. It's just, I would say, being resilient, I guess, is pretty much the thing that I'm proud about.
Right.
Because I've been in some really low places
okay.
as a woman, and some places where, you know, sometimes you get in a situation and you'll look up and you don't see your mama, you don't see your friends, you don't see a significant other. Like, it's just you. It's,
right.
it's really just you and God. You know what I mean? And you feel like, how am I going to get past this? Like,
right.
you don't see the answer. You don't see a resolution. And all of a sudden, something inside of you is like, okay, girl, like, you got to do it. Or see this planet or a word or like, you know, somebody's sermon or something that you hear just comes out, and then like that fire is redeveloped. And I would say that's the thing that I'm most proud about. Even when I could hear someone verbally count me out, or even when I could see that the situation really didn't look good and I had no idea of how it was going to manifest the way that I wanted it to, I never quit.
But that's when you...
I never quit.
That's when you get to, like, a true breakthrough. You know what I'm saying? Once everything is stripped away from you, and it's like you have nothing, it opens it up for that message, that divine guidance to hit you, to come through, spark that inspiration. Now you like, psh, you moving 10 steps ahead and didn't even realize how you got there.
Right, exactly. And like the icing on the cake with that situation is that my children witnessed all of it. And so now two of them are budding entrepreneurs
right.
and are starting their own businesses. And they know that, like, mama don't accept no excuses.
Okay.
So like, you've seen all of this, like, you've seen the nothing. And now you've seen like the multiple properties, and you've seen $0, and then you've seen me write a book like with no money. Like, no money for a publisher. And so they know that I don't accept excuses. They know that I'm exactly who I say I am, and I expect the best from them too. So to see them catching it at a much earlier age than I do and starting to walk this thing out, that speaks volumes. You know, it speaks volumes to me.
And that's what we need. Like, we need more role models like that. Because, I mean, as kids, we didn't really see the entrepreneurs. Well, we saw entrepreneurs, but we didn't really see the struggles that they went through. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So for your kids to see you at rock bottom and now see you excelling on your way to the top, that's inspirational. You know what I'm saying? And that's pretty much what it sounds like you're trying to do.
Yeah. And just teaching them while I was still learning, you know, myself, that it really doesn't matter what the situation looks like. Like, it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter what your background is. Like, if you stay focused, everything that you feel like God has for you, it's for you. Like, your name is already on it. You just got to go get it. You know what I mean?
True.
Like, you just have to go get it. And a lot of times when I go speak to young adults, whether it's in a classroom setting or a juvenile detention center, because you can find me there any given day. But I teach them, or like a topic that I speak on when I talk to that age bracket, is often you're not your geographical location. You know, like there could be like a young woman who her grandmother was a CNA and her mother was a CNA. And in her mind, that might be a cap instead of understanding that, oh, no, like you can be an RN if that's what you really want to do.
Right.
You know, like you don't have to follow the pattern that was presented to you. You, like, you can be the change you want to see. And I try to live my life that way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, because some people feel like, okay, you know, talk is cheap. So I try to live it and not just verbally share it also, you know?
So, yeah, I remember you were speaking at SIU Carbondale.
I was, yeah.
How often do you speak?
Well, there's really no like cap on how often I speak. It's by invitation. Okay. Typically, you know, someone who has followed me on social media actually saw me speaking at an engagement or an event. But I'll share specifically about the opportunity at SIUC, which I started off actually my college career there. That's not my alma mater. I actually ended up graduating from Greenville University. But my connection with SIUC actually developed from my relationship with some teaching staff at Mount Vernon Township High School. I had a great connection. That was a previous place of employment for me, by the way. So I'll just drop that in there. So I know a lot of people in the school district, Centralia and Mount Vernon. I worked in the school district for several years. But I had a great relationship with the sponsor of FBLA at Mount Vernon Township High School. And FBLA is Future Business Leaders of America. And so we worked together previously, but she followed me on social media. And she said, hey, you know, I think you would be a great speaker for my kids at this conference that's coming up. I'm like, okay, I'm with it, because, you know, that's my thing.
Right.
So we talked about, you know, the topics and what she might have me to do. But the initial conference that I spoke at was on a smaller scale. I think they gave me a 45-minute talk, and I talked to maybe like 200 students or something like that, which was dope. It went over really well, though. And so that's when the huge relationship was developed, and they started to invite me back. And so I had the opportunity to keynote and then speak on larger platforms and follow FBLA to Springfield. And so that's kind of how that seed was planted and that opportunity developed.
Okay. So this kind of segues into my next question.
Okay.
Back to your book. So have you considered producing an audio version of your book, like an audio book?
I have. And I hate that you asked me that, because I can just kick myself right now. I mean, it's a great question, because I actually have. And it's something that I started on. And to be honest with you, I didn't finish. There's an amazing person who reached out to me, and we were working on that project together, and it just never manifested. But I did have a couple people reach out to me who wanted to buy the book, and they were like, hey, is it available as an audio book? And of course, my answer was no, because it wasn't. So it is something that I started on, never completed the project, but now, knowing what I know now, I know that moving forward, that definitely always has to be an option, because you don't want to limit, you know, your readers or your audience. Mm-hmm. If that's something that they're interested in, you definitely want to make that available. So part of my learning curve, I definitely found that out along the way.
Right. Okay. Well,
this is good for me because I need to set my game up.
It's all good. Hey, hopefully I can spark that.
Yeah, you did. Definitely.
All right. Another question. This one might take you by surprise. It normally takes everybody by surprise.
Okay.
So what's the question that no one has ever asked you, but you wish someone would ask you?
Let me take a deep breath because
take your time.
No, seriously. No, I'm taking a deep breath because I don't want to get emotional. I really don't. I want to keep everything as even keeled as I possibly can.
Right.
But I'm glad you asked me that question, because this is something that I actually dealt with heavily this year. And a question that no one asked me that I wish they would ask me is, am I okay?
That's interesting.
Now, don't get me wrong. I got amazing friends, okay? So before it sounds like I ain't got no good friends, that's not what I'm saying. I have some dope friends. Like, my circle is bomb.com.
Okay.
However, I would like to share this with you. When you are a strong friend, or when you have a gift of showing up well, and you present well, you talk well, you look like you have it all together, whether you in your suit and your stilettos and coming out of your business office, or whether you coming out of the gym, like, you show up well and you inspire and you encourage and you always got a smile on your face, it leaves people's mind often that maybe you're not okay. It leaves people's mind because you don't look like you're having a bad hair day, or you're not crying or falling out all over the place. A lot of people are remiss to ask that question when they don't publicly see you in that light. So definitely, am I okay? It's the least asked question. Very rare. I can count on one hand the amount of time that I've been asked that this year. And I will couple that by saying, sometimes I'm even hesitant to answer, because I have answered before and that was pretty much it.
Right.
You know, like, you kind of share maybe what's going on, and that's it. You know what I mean? So I kind of want to dive into something else too, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Like, after we cover this topic in full. But that's my answer to that question. Rarely am I ever asked, am I okay?
Okay. So are you okay?
I am okay now, but I think this year had a whole lot to do with self-care. And I don't mean hair, nails, massages. I mean, just kind of like relearning myself and prioritizing right. what's important, looking at my plate, kind of measuring out what needs to be on it, what doesn't need to be on it. And actually even, and this is where I was going to go. So this is a great segue to where I was going to go. I think we as Black people, for whatever reason, whether it came from our parents, whether it came from whoever raised you, or whether it just came from society, and there just being like this huge, ugly stigma out there about counseling, and not just counseling, but maybe even a mentor, whether it's a business mentor or a spiritual mentor. I don't know a lot of people who publicly talk about that and embrace that. So it's definitely something that I made a priority in my life this year, and the results have been phenomenal. I'm definitely a better person because of it, because of those things.
So you really had a chance to reconnect with yourself over the year.
Right. Reconnect with myself, make sure that my moves are spearheaded by God and I'm not Carlika moves, because Carlika moves dope as hell. But if they're not spearheaded like by God, and it's really not a part of my purpose and it's really not a part of my calling, I kind of just switch gears just to make sure that I was in tune with myself. Because a lot of people can be busy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're busy, but they're really unproductive. And I never want that to be me. A lot of people are out here moving around and doing things, but actually not producing anything fruitful. So that's not a space that I ever care to be in again.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely found myself with a great business mentor now. I'm actually reconnecting with another one. You can never have too many, if you ask me. A spiritual mentor, and then definitely just some counseling, because sometimes it's hard for us to do self-check, you know, take a good look at ourselves in the mirror to kind of check ourselves about things that we need to change about ourselves, some areas that we might be weak in and just kind of don't want to address that. So those are things that I took advantage of and spent a lot of time on this year that I would encourage anyone to do. You know, I think you can definitely show up as your best self for real when you're taking care of you first.
There you go. It goes back to what you were saying about you can't serve anyone from an empty cup.
Right, exactly.
So you got to make sure yours is full.
So, and about that empty cup piece, it's interesting how many people think that that's selfish, you know? Like just pausing, falling back for a minute, you know, taking care of you, especially when there are a lot of people who have expectations of you. Mm-hmm. In my conversations with people that I know personally, people that I know in business or just associates, a lot of people don't do it because they feel like it's selfish, you know?
My take on that, when somebody feels that you're selfish for taking care of yourself, it's usually because they're selfish.
Yeah, I can see that.
So it's like they feel like their issues are more important than what you're going through.
Right. True.
And that's human nature. I get it. But it annoys me too. I don't know. I just felt like saying that.
I can relate. I can see what you're saying. But, you know, when you start doing that, I will say this, it'll shock the hell out of some people.
Right.
Because they'll be looking at you like, okay, like, wait a minute, what? Okay, so your answer is no? Oh, okay, so you can't do this today? And right. It's just, I'm laughing, but we're in December now. So I've really been just taking a closer look at situations and relationships and things like that. So I'm also embracing the word no a little bit more and understanding that the word no, it's the complete sentence. There ain't got to be no excuses attached to it, long drawn out conversations. Just no. Like, just no. Hey, just no.
And sometimes you it's know, hard to
well
say.
Be well and God bless.
Right. Sometimes it's hard to say it, but once you get used to saying it, it's kind of liberating.
It is. It really is. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Reading is dope.
You can get your Dilla Gear apparel at Chantinique Music and Sportswear in Detroit on Harper. The address is 8933 Harper and the telephone number is 313-923-3304. Shout out.
Yo, we got the style to make some wild when you come through. Gilla Gear, we in here, we the ones who. So get the unique when we speak upon these ones and twos. Heat in the streets with these beats and we got clothes too. It's a style that makes them wild when you come through. Gilla Gear, we in here, we the ones who. So get the unique when we speak upon these ones and twos. Heat in the streets with these beats and we got clothes too. This is Gilla Boys Radio. All right, so what types of books do you read and how do you feel it affects your writing style?
Let's start with the first half. What types of books do I read? It depends because I actually have a business mentor and one of my agency managers that's connected to my business, my insurance business, he will share different books that are great for our business, great for entrepreneurs, great leadership skills and things like that. So definitely books on the lines that directly help in business, but just you as an individual. Books that I choose to read. I read Michelle Obama's Becoming. Actually, I haven't completed it. I still have a little more to finish. And a book that I just started on is actually called Your Exhilarating Life. It's by a friend of mine. Her name is Carmel Brown, a great, great author. And it just talks about like creating family and career prosperity, things like that. So I guess that would kind of say I gravitate to self-help books.
Okay.
I gravitate to things that are going to produce great things in your family life, your business life, your personal life. I guess I'll couple with that. Also, I don't really mess with fiction.
Okay.
I will. And I have. But in my library that I have, I don't really have a lot of fiction books. I don't really read a lot of horror, like anything like that. The books that I read are definitely authors who are sharing their story. They're telling me how to make some money. They're telling me how to build my business.
Right.
They're telling me their backstory and how these different things that they decided to implement in their life helped them. That's kind of my range. And I won't say, believe it or not, the books that I read have influenced me more as a speaker than they have as a writer. So my writing style really hasn't been affected much by the books that I read. But as I shared with you earlier, my writing style is very much like my speaking style, transparent.
Okay.
That's how I speak, and that is how I write. Transparency is my sauce, by the way. I'm going to show up and I'm going to give it to you real. But I also share with you that I'm a transformational speaker, not a motivational speaker. I'm not a hype woman. I'm not going to get on the stage and have you pumped for 20 minutes. And then after you've been home for a week, that energy's gone.
Right.
No, I'm going to hype you up and I'm going to give you some entertainment, but I'm also going to educate you. I'm going to give you a backstory and I'm going to offer you some tools in my speaking and in my books that you can utilize this thing and this information for as long as you choose to. So my talks and my books don't expire. Like, they're always good. They'll be good for you. They'll be good for your son. They'll be good for your son's son. So I don't just share things that are going to hype people up and make them feel good, because we can our feelings, you know, ain't no money in there anyway. So I like to attach some tools and some helpful pieces that are going to couple with that excitement and those stories and those testimonies. You can take those things with you and use them for the rest of your life.
Okay. Going back to a previous episode, I interviewed a guy named Harold McGee on my second episode, and he spoke about transformational leadership as well. And that's one thing he said to me, which is what you just said, is that he doesn't read much fiction. He reads, what he reads is stuff that's going to give him substance, going to provide him education, inspiration. And I've interviewed some fiction authors as well. So I'm kind of picking up some different themes, different motivations as far as different styles of authors.
Okay.
So do you have any favorite authors?
I don't think I have a favorite author. No. My answer to that is no. I'm thinking. No, I don't have a favorite author. I don't.
Okay.
I don't have a favorite author.
Do you have a favorite book or a book that you would say made the most impact on you or made a big impact on you at whatever moment in your life?
Probably not. What I do have, though, are very, very instrumental. And this is not to avoid the question. It's just a real answer. What I do have, though, are favorite and key people, speakers, influencers, if you will, that I kind of gravitate to on social media. So like if they're going live or if they're like, hey, I'm going to be talking about this topic today, I do kind of veer towards certain people on social media with their platform. And I'm not even talking about gurus or people who have, you know, a million people following them. But there are certain people that when they show up, I listen. Because something that I do outside of reading books is, because words are really good. Like, I know some people who got some game and they have a great mouthpiece and the book is really good and the value that they share is really good. But the people that I follow, like on social media, like I'm a people watcher and I actually look at their life and I see if their words line up with their lifestyle and the things that they're doing. And I'm kind of looking at what their followers are saying too. Just because I have a thing about, I'm drawn to transparency. And, you know, I told you that transparency is my thought, but I'm drawn to it too. I can't help what I'm drawn to. And it gets me excited. And so when I see someone who has a backstory and like they just hit the ground running and they decided that they were going to be a trailblazer no matter what, but the proof is in what I'm seeing and not just what I'm hearing, I'm totally attracted to that. and it helped me. So right. I don't have a favorite podcast right now, but I do try to start my day by listening to someone that I follow or an influencer. One, I'll give you the name of one, and she's so dope. Her following is a lot of women predominantly, but when I say she's a great leader and a great boss that I think any young man, young woman or woman could actually look up to and learn some things from her. I follow her really heavy on Instagram. She's on Facebook too, but her name is Renessa Brown.
Okay.
If you know her really well, people call her Ronnie, but her name is Renessa Brown. And her story is like amazing. She has a book and it's called, I think, From Mopping Floors to Millions or something like that. I might have one of the words wrong, but it's very close to that. And like when she shows up, like, trust me, if I'm in my office and I don't have any clients coming in, I put an earbud in so I can, you know, hop in tune to hear what she's saying. But back to your question about like a book or a person or an author. Like what I kind of focus on are people, like somebody who has a podcast or somebody who actually is an influencer on social media. And they've shown me like that the proof is in the pudding and they're not just talking, but they actually live that life and they're sharing like how this can work for me. That's kind of what I focus on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are there any other influencers that you would, you know, want to share with the listeners? Maybe they might find some.
One is understood for me. Or actually, I'll just say two. And the one of those two would be Michelle Obama.
Okay.
And the other one, she's a boss for so many different reasons. I'm not just saying that because she was our first lady.
Right.
But the other person is actually Oprah. Okay. Believe it or not, there are a lot of things about Oprah that I don't like. There are a lot of decisions that Oprah has made that like I don't like. But the respect that I have for her and her backstory, if you know it, like how her career started, the roadblocks that she faced. And because Oprah, first of all, Oprah came from nothing, like nothing, you know, zero. And just being mentally and physically abused and her atmosphere and the environment and, you know, mother not wanting you, having a relationship there. I mean, I could go on, you know, right. You got to Google it if you don't know her story. But to see what she's doing right now, it means that it's possible. And maybe you don't want the show, you know, and maybe you don't want the magazine. Maybe you just want like your own auto body shop. And you come from an environment where your mother's been on welfare her entire life. Or maybe you have also experienced mental and physical abuse. Like she just said, you know what? Listen, y'all counted me out, but clearly you can't count. And so her story, it really ignited a fire in me because I've been following her probably, I don't know, since Oprah was Oprah. She's always like had this beacon of light that I aspire to have.
Right.
So it wasn't that I wanted to be her, but I wanted some of what she had, you know? So if anybody ever shows up and like they have something going on in their life that I think is amazing, then I try to keep my eyes on that. So, like I said, there are some things about Oprah that I don't like. But as far as how she moved in her career, where she came from, where she is now, how she did it, and how she didn't let no stand in her way, that's definitely someone that I admire. Definitely someone that created, you know, a path and said, "Hey, you know, this can be yours too if you want it."
True.
You know,
and I can understand that because like Oprah has accomplished like big feats that many black women have never accomplished.
So, right.
So I can see how she set the, she blazed the trail, I should say, you know.
Correct.
What I'm saying? But, and being in the limelight for so long, it's only natural that some things going to come out that people ain't going to like about you.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got to take the good with the bad. Like me. I'm sure it's things that people don't like about me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not even in the like that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let me say this too, because I'm glad that you said that. Because some things that you say, if you don't add clarity, they could be taken the wrong way.
Right.
My point is this. You don't have to like anyone. You don't have to like me. You don't have to like Oprah. You don't have to like someone to learn from them.
Right.
That was my point.
Indeed.
Because there are some people, I have a lot of conversations with women that like, you know, I ain't going because I don't like her. And I'm looking at them like, if this can increase like your revenue, or shit, this girl is about to drop so many nuggets and so many gems,
and
you're not gonna go because you don't like her.
Yeah,
like it blows my mind, because people think that they have to like you to learn from you. Couldn't be further from the truth. And so if I could leave you with anything, like before we wrap this up, I hope that resonates with everybody that's listening to you. You do not have to like someone to learn from them. If you're about to give me the juice and squeeze on something, oh, I'm showing up. And I might pay for it too. If it's going to help me and it's going to enhance my life, I don't have to like you, you know?
There you go.
Let me get that knowledge, though. Let me get that knowledge about you. I'll take that.
There you go. That kind of segues into the next question. So what kind of advice would you give to an aspiring author?
I would give the same advice that was given to me. I wouldn't change it. I would, you know, doctor it up, sugarcoat it. I would say just write. Because the longer you talk about something, the longer you prolong it, the longer you think about it, the longer you pump your brakes and you hesitate, well, the goal is just further away.
True.
So I say, first of all, just write. And if the questions that you have are, okay, what? Well, when? Well, how do I? First of all, just write. Get you a journal if that's not your thing. I'm old school. I write a lot of things down. Believe it or not, I write a lot more than I do on the computer. I don't hit the computer until I know I'm ready to actually publish something. So get on your laptop, get on your tablet, get your journal, go buy you some journals, and actually just start writing. The development comes after that. The chapters will come after that. Now, if you already have a story in your head, okay, well, you're ahead of the game. You can start writing in chapters or, you know, making sections. But if you are just green and you know you want to write about something, you know you have a story or a topic or some information you want to share, just start writing. And so I'll give you another example, though. Like when I wrote my book, I didn't write it in the order of chapters.
Right.
I wrote it in chapters, but as I began to form it and as I began to develop it, the first chapter that I wrote could have been chapter 5. So if you just put the pen, if you put the pen to the pad and you actually start writing, I promise you, you're going to ignite your own fire.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to ignite your own fire once you start writing. It's going to be feeling good. And you'll be like, oh, okay, I've already written like 500 words. And then it goes from there. It'll become exciting to you. It won't feel like work, especially if it's something that you really want to do. I will share this too, though, just in case you are someone who has a lot of things going on. I was that person. I was married at the time when I wrote my book. I had children still in my home when I wrote my book. I was actually finishing a degree when I wrote my book. I had more than one job, and I had so many things going on. So believe it or not, like I wanted this so bad that I didn't let it interrupt those things. I did start saying no to a lot of things, but I did most of my writing between the hours of 11 p.m. and 3 a.m.
Mm.
Because that's when I had my time to myself.
Right.
That's when I was off work. That's when the kids had done all their things. Keep in mind, I was also studying, you know, I was finishing a degree at the time, because a lot of excuses could come into play. But that also, you know, rises that question again, how bad do you really want it? If you want something bad enough, you will make the time. So number one, just write. Start writing. Get it out there. Get it out there and go back and revisit it later. But actually just start writing and make the time.
Right.
Make the time. If you know you work, a certain block of time and you're in school or you have a baby or something like that, then you won't have to get comfortable being uncomfortable and create blocks of time that maybe are normally times when you're not up. Or instead of spending an hour stuffing your face on your lunch hour, you know, get some quick bites of food and use your lunch hour, you know, to write. So you got to change some things in order to get some things that you've never had. You know, you got to become uncomfortable doing some different things if you really want to make it happen.
Okay. And you know what? To further talk about writing, I read somewhere that the actual process of physically writing is therapeutic itself.
It is. I think so. I would agree with that statement personally.
Okay, so where can everyone find you? Like if the listeners are looking for you, where can they find you, your books, Yes.
My book can be found Amazon.com. My book is available on Amazon.com. It's also available at BarnesandNoble.com. The name of the book, again, is called Securing the Keys. Securing the Keys. It's a self-help book coupled with biblical principles on how to get unstuck, get across those hurdles, and figure out like what you're really here to do, what you really want to do, and follow that thing out. But the book can be found on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can find me on Facebook at Carlika Span. I'm not really heavily active on Instagram right now, but I do have an Instagram account. But as I rebuild my brand, if you follow me on Facebook, then that information will be shared with you, like when my website comes out and my new projects come out. But I am actively involved on Facebook, social media on Facebook, and I show up throughout the week. So that's where you can find me.
Okay. And what can we expect from Ms. Carlika Span in 2021 and beyond?
What you can expect is me definitely showing up unapologetically with my speaking platform, reintroducing that. You can expect to see me showing up definitely with another book. There's no date on that, but you can also see me showing up with interviews and actually speaking to people again about their stories, what they want to share with the world, and how they've accomplished different hurdles that they face in their life. So sitting down, having conversations, you know, with people about what they're dealing with, how they got past it, that's a passion of mine, along with speaking and writing. So definitely a speaking platform, again, reintroducing that, definitely connecting with people in interview style, whether it's a show or a podcast, and a book will be, it'll be showing its face as well, too, in 2021.
That's cool. All right. So, I mean, that's the last question that I have for you. Is there anything else you want to add before we end it off?
There is not, but I would absolutely like to thank you again for the invitation. This was great for me, actually. So I hope that you enjoyed the interview and the Indeed. Experience as well. I'm just sad that we didn't do this sooner. I am. So thank you for the opportunity. I'm excited about what you're doing. Again, I appreciate the invitation because it's your platform. You have the, you know, you have the green light on who you want to invite, who you don't want to invite. So thank you for choosing me. I definitely hope it was beneficial to your listeners and that we connect again. We can connect again, maybe on a different level, but I definitely appreciate the invitation.
No doubt. You're welcome. And I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Absolutely.
All right. And one more thing I want you to do. I want you to say this is Carlika Span and you're tuned in to Gilla Boys Radio.
Absolutely. So, this has been Carlika Span, speaker and author, and you've been tuned in to Gilla Boys Radio.
Oh, okay, no doubt.
Reading is dope.